We got to understand that Christ isn't Jesus' last name. Christ is a description of his nature. He is Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, the one with the power to remove every burden, destroy every yoke, and establish every blessing of the covenant that was bought and paid for at the cross. That's what it means. So when I see that word Christ, I'm thinking anointing, I'm thinking ability, I'm thinking can do, I'm thinking the word materializing in my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we are going to start with the 7th verse. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. Praise God forever. And we'll read up to verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. It says this, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they understood it, is the verse before, is it? Verse number 8? Yeah. Verse number 8. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Praise Jesus. The principalities and powers that we now wrestle with would have stood back at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ if they had known the power and authority and the release of greatness that was released in that sacrifice of the cross. I am convinced, my brother and sister, that we haven't yet tapped a 50th. You think of all the great things, all the great amazing events in history that God has wrought through the hands of his apostles and prophets through the ages. You imagine everything that has been done, that's been achieved by the body of Christ in the area of signs and wonders and miracles. And you know, there are movements and denominations and whole sort of cults and sects and all sorts of groups that say that the miraculous nature of God that was displayed in Jesus Christ and carried on through the apostles and prophets somehow disappeared and waned away at the passing of the apostles. And that's clearly and historically patently untrue. There was a chap, a man by the name of Martin of Tours. For those of you who've never done church history, it's an amazing thing. Martin of Tours was around about the 7th or 8th century, something like that. And he lived in Tours in France. And there was a mighty anointing on that guy's life. He was a real man of prayer. He was a man of faith. And the miraculous nature of his ministry was such that he raised a guy from the dead who had killed himself. Wow. Now, you imagine that. Wouldn't that be a shocker? You kill yourself, you're on your way to hell, and the next thing, there's a guy called Martin of Tours standing over what was your corpse and calling your spirit back into your body. And they said that his robe, what became a relic of the church, that people after Martin of Tours had long been gone to be with the Lord, that still his robe was wrapped around the sick and their bodies were healed. Wow. Isn't that remarkable? Yes. Praise Jesus. Had the rulers of this age known what was coming? You think about this. They didn't know Pentecost was coming. Had they known that such an anointing was going to be poured out, they would never have touched Jesus. Satan himself would have stood at the cross and said, anyone touches this guy, I'm going to kill him. I mean, that's how much of a, sorry to use this, but how much of a bad boy Jesus is. Hallelujah. I mean, he's not just good, he's bad. Praise God Almighty. Wow, had the rulers of this age understood it, they would never have touched the Lord of glory. Verse number 9, it says, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, and which has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. How many of you love God this morning? Turn to your neighbor and tell him then it's yours. It's yours. It's mine. It's yours. That these things that we can find in Scripture, if we can find it in Scripture, then it's ours. It belongs to us in Christ. Suddenly the aircon has gone really cold, Zilly, if you put it back the way it was. Thank you, sir. 24 low, I think, on the sunshine. Praise God. It belongs to us. It's remarkable how much is ours in Christ. And I really believe from the kind of reading I've done in Scripture, the kind of studying that I've done in Scripture concerning the new creation, concerning who we are in Christ, we've probably tapped less than 1/100th of the transformatory nature that God has given us. And it's amazing. The more that we can tap in that area, the more that we'll see it manifest. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's carry on reading this thing. Verse number 10, it says, for to us God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. There's something in this for us. There's something about the nature of God, that if you can tap the mind of God and you can tap the will of God, and it's all according to what the Bible says, it's all there somewhere in the Word of God. If we can tap it, it's ours. If we can lay hold of it, and if we can understand what God has given us, and we can process it, and we can believe in it, then we can effectively activate it and have it. In other words, there's nothing stopping you and me. Amen. There's nothing. We are that unstoppable force. In fact, I was praying for someone during the week, and as I was praying, I just made this declaration. I said, may every glass ceiling in her life be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. There's nothing. Where you and Jesus are a majority. You and God are a majority. And it's really finding the thrust behind that thing and determining to see it come to pass that makes all the difference. Hallelujah to Jesus. May you never be a sedentary Christian again in your life, in Jesus' mighty name. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, there's too much for me. Yeah, there's too much. In fact, he says it. He says, you know what? He says, eye hasn't seen it, neither has ear heard it, neither has even entered into the heart of man. The only way that you can perceive this stuff is by revelation. It's too big for our mind. It's too big for our heart. But there's something that we can tap by revelation. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's why revelation is so important. So important. You ever read your Bible and then something just jumps out at you? That's revelation. That's what it's like. And it changes you. Anyone ever been changed by something that's just jumped out from the Bible into your life? That's what the Bible calls the rhema word of God. The Bible says faith comes by that method. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that rhema of God. That literally you can it's like plug and play. You can just like plug it in and then go for whatever it says. Look at that next part of the 9th verse. Things which eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. Next verse, number 10. Verse number 10. Verse number 10. For to us, God has revealed them. In fact, my scripture says it quite better. Let me just get back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10. It says, oh no, it's not that. It must be the King James or the New King James. There's one that says, but he has revealed. New King James, is it? New Living Translation, is it? Verse number 10, it says, right, and what is that, New Living? New King James. Look at that, look at that. Okay, go to verse number 9 in the New King James, because I want to show you something. Has there ever been a but in your life? You had a ticket for a plane, you got to the airport, you checked in, but you were late. You were going to go to a wedding of a very famous footballer and you had your ticket and you got to the check-in desk, but you were late. Sorry, I'm grassing up our youth pastors here. There's the one of the strongest words you can ever have is the word but. Now, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but it has been revealed by his Spirit. So there's something of revelation that you can capture that you couldn't capture without the Spirit of revelation. Does that make sense? There's something, it's like the missing piece. And the way I was meditating on this word that God gave me, it's like there's almost too much to bite off in one sitting. Because the way that God thinks about our situation and the way that we think about our situation is so, so, so different. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse number 8. God puts it this way. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Do you want to know the way that God showed this to me in reality? We have a dog at home, Buddy the dog. He's quite a unique little individual. He does all sorts of like very unique things. You know, he knows how to open the door by himself and all that kind of thing. He does this thing where he jumps for his dinner. So we always pray over his food. He won't touch his food until we've prayed for it and said amen. So he'll sit there like drooling, Father, Lord God, we thank you so much. And he's sitting there and we say in Jesus' name, amen. The moment he says amen, boom, he's off. Some of you have seen it, right? And he jumps for his dinner now. I mean, he jumps as high as this pulpit for his dinner. I'm carrying in his dinner like, you know, some royal thing like that. And he's like jumping. It must look like ridiculous from the outside. But he's like absolutely packed with character. But I know there's sometimes that he's watching me and he's wondering what I'm doing. Particularly in relation to food. Because like Labradors, they're just scavengers. They never fill up. You can feed them. In fact, our vet told us of a situation where a Labrador had eaten 10 kilos of dried food in one go, and she had to cut his stomach open and release the contents because he would have killed himself by eating. That's what they're like. They're scavengers, right? And so there's sometimes I can see where I've like cooked some food and left it on the counter top or something like that, and he's looking at me confused. It's like, well, why aren't you eating it? And sometimes I'm emptying the dishwasher, I'm putting the dishes in or anything like that, and he's watching me do the same thing over again. And you can tell that he's desperate to understand what I'm doing. Because like I'm doing it every day and he's watching me and it's like, what is he doing, right? Well, now you imagine us in relation to God. If we saw some of the things God is doing, it's like, God, what are you doing? And God says this, he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. I think how high the heavens are. We've just sent a rover to Mars, right? Where, like, the red planet, isn't it amazing? Yeah. Have anyone seen the footage of the Mars rover? It's remarkable. There's just something about it. I love what Kenneth Copeland said about 20 years ago. He said, and it's been like rotating around the back of my mind ever since he said it. He said, you know, he said, there's something about the planets that feels a bit unfinished. Almost as if man is supposed to finish them off. Isn't that amazing? Now you imagine when you go to be with the Lord and the Lord says, well done now, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Father. Would you like a planet? Isn't that so cool? You like get your own planet. You could just sculpt it the way you want and, you know, have a go. I mean, you know, Jesus said it this way. He said, in my Father's house, there are many what? Mansions, right? Now, okay, we've translated it mansions. The word, the Greek word is the Greek word meno, which means dwelling places. Isn't that interesting? How many of you would like your own planet? Maybe up there, there's planet Paolo. And Joey is planet moon, the moon that rotates around planet Paolo. She'd want her own planet, wouldn't she? It's like, no, I want my own solar system, mate. Forget planets. But oh, thank you. That's very, you can be a meteorite and you can strike me in the heart. Sorry, guys, I forgot where we were. Sorry. Let's get back to business. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without accomplishing that which I sent it for. Hallelujah to Jesus. So every word from God has a purpose. Zilla, kill the aircon for me, will you please, all together. It's blowing cold, isn't it? Freezing. I don't know what's happened there. That's how high God is above us. We think, you know, there's sometimes I've read scripture and I've thought, wow, you know, the angel of the Lord arose into the camp of the Assyrians and killed 185,000 of the Assyrians. Now you think about it, before machine guns and bombs, that would have been impossible in the natural. But like God was using machine guns and bombs like 2,000 years, like 3,000 years ago. Do you know what I mean? You think about the loud voice that came from heaven. This is my son, the beloved. You know, that could have been a helicopter. How would you know? Like, what would you know? A bright light came from heaven. That's a certain. Do you see what I'm saying? The whole arrangement of things like praise and worship instruments and lighting and sound and smoke and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's God's version of, like, we got the earthly version down here. Earth is such a poor rendition of heaven. Poor. That's why I'm never too concerned about, you know, when people die and go to heaven. Because you talk about upgrade, mate. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know what I was going to say. It's like moving from burnt. Anyway, but, you know, praise Jesus. We'll leave that one there. Glory to God forever. Amen, somebody. But that's how God changes things. That's how God releases things. That's how we can know the mind of God is through his word. That's what he's saying. My thoughts aren't your thoughts, right? And then he says, so shall it be concerning my word. So the more of this we've got on the inside of us, the more of his word that we've got on the inside of us, the more of his mind we can tap. And I don't know about you, but flowing with the mind of God is a really, really good idea. Amen. I mean, he knows what's coming. You know, we get glimpses, we get little bits here and there. We get like, you know, how does the Bible put it? He says, we see in a glass darkly. It's like we look in a kind of smoky mirror to try and see what's coming ahead. It's like looking in a smoky kind of mirror. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus put it this way, that concerning the Spirit of God, he said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you, and he will show you things to come. Praise God. So we can get glimpses of the future. We can't know the whole thing. I love what Godfrey said this morning. If you didn't hear his message, it's definitely worth, when it comes out on Podomatic, it's definitely worth tapping into, because the flow of his spirit and mind today is just really so strong. I feel like I'm almost preaching the sequel to what he preached. Those of you that were there, wasn't it great?
Yes.
Praise God. Some of us just camp out for the two services. It's great fun. Glory to God. Not much else to do, right? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Look at this. Jeremiah chapter 29. It's a very, very commonly known passage of scripture concerning the mind of God. But I just want to, I want you to hear it on the basis of God has got my back. He knows the things that are to come. And I can tap his mind. I can understand. I can press in to the blessing of understanding the mind of God for my season. You know, it's very rare that God operates by weeks and months. He operates by times and seasons. And it's really, really important to know there's something about that, that if you understand the times and seasons, you can flow with God better. Because which is more important, that you flow with God or that he flows with you? Amen. God said that to me one time. I said, God, I need this, I need that, I need the other. And he says, my word says, I am the Lord, I change not. So if you need all this stuff, guess who needs to change? That'll shut your prayer life, right? When God speaks, I'm telling you, everything goes quiet. Hallelujah to Jesus. Look at this now. Now, this word, right, because we often don't understand the concept of or the background, shall I say, of this word and how this word had come about, right? Jeremiah 29:11 is not a word that God speaks in isolation. We often, when we speak the word like that, we often speak it in isolation. Oh, for I know the plans that I have for you, declare the Lord. How many know that scripture? It's very, very commonly known. I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity. These guys had just been in a city and in a nation that was completely destroyed and decimated, and that entire nation was taken into captivity. The Bible says there was just a few stragglers left that occupied Jerusalem and took over lands and vineyards, etc. But it's the exact opposite of what they've just encountered in the natural. Virtually 180 degrees opposite. And he says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And he says it right in the middle of their devastation. It's remarkable. I was preaching on the pivot the last time I preached here, a couple of weeks back, talking about the pivot, talking about when to declare the word, like when the word is at its most effective, is when life looks at its most desolate. That's the lesson of Ezekiel. Do you remember? Ezekiel's looking across this valley, the Bible says, and it was incredibly dry. And this valley was full of bones. And God said, son of man, can these bones live? And he says, well, God, you know. I don't know. I don't know how I can make this thing live. And he says, son of man, what? Prophesy. In other words, open your mouth, take my word, and speak right into that situation. Right into the epicenter of that situation. There's something about the word that if we get rid of ourselves and clear the decks and allow God to be God, and we align ourselves with him and with his word and his ways, and really we can only know that once we know his word. That's how we get to know his ways, is by his word. The more of the word we can get on the inside of us, the more we can align ourselves, direct ourselves, and then flow with the purposes of God for our lives. Can you say amen? See, if we didn't know that God was for us in the area, say, of raising children, right? Then there's no handbook. How many of you, when you went to the maternity ward and you pushed out your baby, they handed you a book and it said how to raise your child? Even if they did give you a book, what's in it now, it would be totally wrong. Right? I mean, there's two ways to live life. You can be politically correct or you can be biblically correct. And I would rather stand before God biblically correct than live my life of political correctness. Hallelujah. Sure is quiet in this Watchtower Bible Society. Praise Jesus. Honestly, the way that things have gone. Whoa, Jesus. My goodness me. Just when you think the devil can't come up with something funkier than what he's put out in the world. And he surpasses himself every time in idiocy. I mean, it's remarkable, man. Absolutely remarkable. May God deliver us. May common sense be restored to us in the mighty name of Jesus. It's almost like the madman of Gadara has become the ruling authority. Do you know what I mean? Running around naked, chained up and in a grave. I mean, that would be the next music video, right? Am I telling the truth? It's true. Praise God. Don't care how much hate mail I get. PastorP@harvestchurch.org.uk. Godfrey will answer for you. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, all these promises, right? You think about how far, and this is one of the things I love about God, about his word and about his ways. Because he'll bury something. He'll make it impossible for you to find it, and then he'll give it to you. It's just something so wonderful about God, about his ways of doing things. There's certain, his ways are amazing. The Bible says how unfathomable are his ways. So deep, like awesome, awesome, awesome. He tells us, right? Now you think about it, it would be like Buddy the dog learning to think like me, right? Boom. It would be like the equivalence, the step, like for me to think like God, it would be like Buddy, my dog, learning to, I don't know, speak 15 different languages or, you know, become a physicist or something. That's how impossible it would be, right? And then, like, so for me to try, like, God, Lord, I'd love to just think like you. I'd love to, just for a second, I would love to just see things the way that you see things. I remember in Ireland, I was going through a season of prayer and fasting. And I remember I walked out of my house in this place called Renmore in Galway, where I was living. And I walked along the road. And by the time I got to the end of the road, it's almost like I was going upstairs. And suddenly I hit a realm of understanding that for a second, I felt like a kind of a PhD professor of all things universal. It was just remarkable. It's the closest I've ever come across. You know, the Bible talks about the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Like, understanding is a spirit. It's remarkable. Understanding is a spirit. Praise Jesus. Understanding is a spirit. Call wisdom your sister, the Bible says. Call understanding your close, intimate friend. Those of you at home, understanding is a spirit. Tap that spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. When things come across as difficult, tap the spirit of understanding. Lord, I receive your spirit of understanding for my situation in the name of Jesus. Look at this. Look, God says, he says, all these things is you can't know it. Just as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts, right? And then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 16, he just completely hands it to us on a plate. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But, here's that but again. Praise Jesus. Thank God for the buts of life. Amen. But we have the mind of Christ. To understand that scripture, we got to understand that Christ isn't Jesus' last name. Christ is a description of his nature. Amen. He is Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, the one with the power to remove every burden, destroy every yoke, and establish every blessing of the covenant that was bought and paid for at the cross. That's what it means. So when I see that word Christ, I'm thinking anointing, I'm thinking ability, I'm thinking can do, I'm thinking the word materializing in my life, I'm thinking the head and not the tail, I'm thinking above and not beneath, the lender to many nations and not the borrower. I'm thinking born from above and therefore above all. I'm thinking healed and not sick. I'm thinking prosperous and not poor. I'm thinking king and priest, not worthless individual. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's what that word means to me. And the more I can capture of that nature, the more I can see of the nature of Christ on the inside of me. You know, that like, I mean, feeding 5,000, walking on water, raising the dead, healing the sick, the blind, the leper, the deaf man, the lame man. I mean, turning nations upside down, planting a nuclear device so powerful at a place called Golgotha, that if his arch enemy, Satan, had known what he was doing, he would have told them, do not push the detonator switch of crucifixion on this guy. Wow. Glory to Jesus. I mean, the one thing that Satan wanted to achieve was to get Jesus off the face of the earth. And the Bible said that if he'd known what was coming his way, if he had known what was coming his way, he would never have touched him. Praise God forevermore. Because the moment Jesus went to heaven, the veil was torn in two, the Holy Spirit was released, and boom, suddenly instead of one Christ, there's loads of Christs. We are called Christians, little Christs. He's the big Christ, we are the little ones. We are the ones with that same anointing to remove burdens, destroy yokes, establish the covenant promises of God, release the blessing into our generation. Hallelujah. No wonder we're different. What does the Bible say? We're peculiar people. Yes. We sure are peculiar. Even the way we've gone about managing the situation in this pandemic, we've been peculiar. Yeah. Praise God for it. Hallelujah to Jesus. I love what Tim said a couple of weeks ago. You know, we've all been in the same storm, but we've not all been in the same boat. Glory to God forever. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, raise your thinking. Raise your thinking. Elevate your thinking. There's something that God wants to give us that's bigger than the way we're thinking now. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see, all we have to do then is put the radar up, start looking for it. We'll find it in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, we're too small in our own thinking. Hallelujah to God. You know, I love tapping. There's certain times when I'm in prayer and I can't really describe the process. I know I'm in worship. I know I'm in the Word. And I know I'm very sensitive at that particular point in time to the presence of God. And an idea or a word or a thought or something will come into my life, and then suddenly it's like on the inside of me, boom, like fireworks go off, and I say, wow, I know I've tapped the mind of Christ on this particular issue. I've been praying about the whole situation of where we're at in the United Kingdom in relation to everything that we've been through in the last year. And my prayer has been really like, it's been a prayer from a point of view of like being really concerned about the situation in this nation. Because, you know, if we come out of this situation too early, then there is a thing that can happen when you've been under a lot of pressure. Deep sea divers have to go through this. When they come up from like, you know, a mile and a half underground welding an oil thing or something like that, when they come up, you can't just come up ordinarily. You have to decompress. And I heard the Spirit of God say last week, he said it's decompression time. And that's where the whole thing of rejoicing came from. Remember what I preached on about rejoice in the Lord, always practice joy, etc. Get some more joy flowing in your life, etc. The idea is this, that we have been under a concerted amount of pressure in this last year. And we can't underestimate what it's done in terms of the way it's affected our thinking, our behavior, our lifestyle, all that kind of thing. Now, to click back in to where things were would be very, very dangerous, really dangerous. And sadly, some places in America have tried to do that, and the results have been disastrous, particularly among the teenagers, with anxiety attacks and depression, suicide, and all that kind of stuff. It's been a really, really hard lesson. And I was praying about that situation. I was praying for the UK and just like really seeking the mind of God on what we need to do and where we need to be at for this particular point in time. And God said, he said, it's decompression time. And I really thank God for the wisdom that I don't even know whether they know that what they're doing is so wise. I honestly don't. Because sometimes you can stumble across the cleverest thing in the world from an accident. Or you can be like wise in the natural and it be completely stupid in the spiritual, or it can be completely clever in the spiritual. And I really feel by this graduated unlocking of things that they have tapped something of the decompression that's necessary to come across psychologically in the nation. And I really thank God for that wisdom. I pray for those guys every day anyway, and prayer really matters in government. You know, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, puts it at the top priority in terms of the things that you should pray for. It's not an easy job that they've got. And I really, really feel that it's decompression time, that we've got to come up slowly and graduate the restoration of normality in the land. I want us to close by standing and just praying for that, that the nation will decompress in the right way. I know I heard God. I know I heard him saying it's decompression time. And so we've got to get it right. That's a practical example of the mind of Christ. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we lift this land to you, and we thank you so much for the governors and rulers, etc. Thank you for those who work in government. We thank you for those who work in legislation, Lord God, in public health and all those kind of departments, Lord God. We lift them to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord God, we thank you for wisdom. Sometimes they even stumble across wisdom with you by accident, Heavenly Father. But we thank you for those times. Thank you that there are no accidents in you, Lord God. That these things are like an answer to prayer. And that, Father, as we decompress, Lord God, as we slowly but surely walk away from these situations that were thrust on us by this viral situation and by the reaction of government and legislation to it, that, Father, it will be well with us. We declare the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. Father, I thank you for your hand of blessing and protection. We thank you for the way that you've sustained us, Lord God. Father, as Brother Tim said, we've been in the same storm, but we've not all been in the same boat. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the young people of Harvest, Lord God, as they return to school in the next day or so, that, Father, it will be well with them, Lord God. That, Father, normality will be a great thing to embrace again, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God, for this change that we are embarking on as a nation, Lord God. And as the storms rage and the sea surges, Father, in other lands, Lord God, Father, we just lift up the UK to you, that your blessing and your hand will be upon it, Father. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.